Hungry Root's standard is simple but important. Step one, it's got to taste good. Step two, it's got to be quick to make. And step three, it's got to contain whole, trusted ingredients. And those three sound simple in theory, but when there's the option for takeout and there are stressful work days where meal prep isn't a priority, and when you've got picky eaters in the family, God help us, it's easier said than done. But Hungry Root makes it possible. We just built our first personalized cart after taking the fun little intro quiz, and soon my fridge will be filled with dairy-free snacks and drinks for John and the kids, prepared heat-and-eat meals for the whole family, and other high-quality groceries they're shipping over. I can't wait. Right now, Hungry Root is offering We Can Do Hard Things listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Did they say free veggies for life? Just go to hungryroot.com/hardthings to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/hardthings. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. We are jumping right into our We Can Do Hard Things episode 2 of this week. We have missed you. We have missed you so much. We are so grateful to be back together. This week is a celebration of you and your just ridiculously beautiful lives. We've been listening to your stories and your questions, and we are answering a bunch more today. So let's jump right in, shall we?
Hey, Glennon and sister. This is Kimberly. I just want to let you know that I find a lot of comfort and peace in this podcast. I just had my second baby. I have a 3-year-old and a 4.5-month-old, and dealing with some postpartum depression. I love how raw and real you are. It makes me feel better and realize I'm not a mess either. I'm just a very feeling person because I'm paying attention. So, one, thank you for your story. Keep on sharing it.
Yes.
Two, I am curious why you guys decided to move to California. Just being nosy, you don't have to tell your listeners why, but I am curious about that. My husband and I have often talked about moving our family just to do something different. So I was curious if you guys had a particular reason for doing it, or maybe it was a job or et cetera. But mainly, I just want to tell you, please keep making this podcast. I look forward to it every single week. It's a highlight for me. With postpartum depression, you don't see a lot of light. You don't feel a lot of light. And this, for me, is light, even if people say it's always talking about hard things. Because you know what? That's life. It's hard. So keep doing what you're doing. Thank you. I also love when Abby's on. I adore her. Thanks for everything, guys. Bye.
Kimberly.
Thanks for talking about depression, Kimberly. I know it well. And because I know it well, I have no advice for you about it. I just get it. Why did we leave Florida? So there's so many ways to answer that question.
Well, she actually asked why you moved to California.
Oh,
it's interesting that you phrased it as why did we leave Florida?
Right.
So I guess that's the answer, right?
Okay. Wow, that's so interesting. Okay. So, well, I mean, maybe that's how we start then, is that it really felt more like the first priority for us was to leave Florida. We chose California, but the impetus was that we felt like it was time to leave. And in a lot of ways, Florida was good to us. I moved there from Virginia because I had neurological Lyme disease and I got really, really sick and I needed to be in the particular climate that Florida had. So I moved the whole family there a decade ago or something. And I am not sure. We lived in Florida in a very, 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 this isn't the right word. I want to say a very conservative place, but that's not even the right word. We basically, I mean, I will describe it as we lived inside of a Trump rally for a very long time. And that manifested itself in many different ways. But I think that basically what I would say is after a very long time there, I felt like I was like in a toxic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I truly felt like I was in a toxic relationship, meaning that some markers of toxic relationships are when you start to feel crazy, right? We lived through
COVID in Florida where, you know, as my kids say, like, we didn't have science. Like, we just didn't have science. We just didn't believe science as a culture there in our town. And mask wearers were shamed and just a lot of stuff like that went on. And we really did start to feel like we were the crazy ones after a while. Another sign of a toxic relationship is when you're angry all the time. I was angry all the time. And I felt like because we had taught our children to speak up when horse shit is happening, like racism or homophobia or ableism or any of that, we found ourselves constantly feeling militantly aggressive all the time. Like every time there was a dog whistle, at every soccer practice, at every bus stop, we found ourselves constant to the point where we started wearing just t-shirts. We figured one one strategy would be is if everywhere we went, we just wore Black Lives Matter t-shirts, if we just wore our gay t-shirts. I mean, we have the gayest closets you've ever seen because everyone just sends us their gay shit. So if we wear rainbows everywhere we go, then remember when we were little and we had those signs that people would put in their windows for kids walking by that were like, this is a safe house. Like it was a signal that you could come to that house if you were in a dangerous situation. We had to wear like anti-safe shirts. Like, this family, not safe for racism, homophobia, dog whistles. But like literally our family would walk up places and everything would go silent. People would stop talking around us. So after a while, one of our kids, you know, being a gay family there too, like one of our kids came home, told us a story about something that had happened. And I got upset. And this child of ours said, well, Mom, this place doesn't love us. And babe, is that the day? It was like, I was thinking back to my own freaking book. I was thinking back to Untamed and the line that was like, these doors aren't even locked.
Yeah.
Like, these doors aren't even locked. Why are we staying here? And because we have an immense amount of privilege to be able to move, we just decided, oh, yeah, that's right. We have this one wild and precious life. Well, and we don't want our children to be angry and gaslit all the time. So we moved.
Yeah, a lot of things were kind of converging at the same time. This story happened. We were, like, in the midst of COVID. And like you said, we have privilege to be able to, like, choose to move when these things started to converge. And I think that having lived here for so long, we forgot that, like, we choose to live here.
Yeah, we're making a choice.
We forgot that this was our doing, right? And I think COVID brought to the surface kind of a lot of the things that we actually want to leave in our past.
Yeah.
We understood that we were angry we don't have to be angry all the time, right? Yeah. We understood that we didn't have a lot of friends because in almost all the circumstances we found ourselves in, when you walk up to a group of people, let's say we're on the sidelines of soccer fields, and then all of those groups of people literally stop talking about what they were talking about, which was some sort of Trump.
Whatever. Thing. Who knows?
Whatever. Mm-hmm. It becomes very isolating. And then, like, you don't want to go out and you actually don't want to get to know people because you know that they voted against your family and your personal rights. Like, this is not like the kind of politics we're talking about is different than Republican and Democrat.
No, it wasn't,
right?
That.
Like, that's not what we're talking about here.
It was fundamentalism. It was a celebration. Exactly. It was a celebration of everything that we stand against. Right? And so,
it's like that meme that says, before you decide you're crazy, be sure you're not just surrounded by assholes.
Yes. Thank
that's
you.
That's right.
And
that's
then
right.
Also that it's not about the assholes. It's about you.
Yeah. Like,
it reminded me of the decision to leave my marriage where it's like, how could he do this to me? How could he do this to me? It was like every day I was like, how could Florida do this to me? How could Florida do this to me? And then it was like, no. How could I keep doing this to myself?
Yes, that's right.
Florida is just Florida-ing.
Yes.
Florida has never pretend to be anything else. Florida is Florida. And the question is, why is your ass still here?
And the commitment that we have to each other and our marriage and our life is that we want to keep evolving. We don't want to stay stagnant. right? And I felt like that was probably part of what we were unearthing is that mm-hmm. we just kind of felt like, well, nothing is going to change unless we change it. So
that's right.
When you can, I mean, and by the way, when Glennon decides something,
whew,
there is
like whiplash.
Hell hath no fury.
Everybody get on the train. It's leaving the station in
hell
three,
hath no
two.
Fury. Like when I figure out the doors are not locked.
Yeah. It's like she literally walked outside. I was sitting outside. I'll never forget it. She just said, why are we living here? And I was like, you mean in this house? And she's like, no, why are we here? And I'm like, we're here because that's where you and Craig live. That's why I'm here. I lived in Portland and California before. Like, that's why I'm here. And so she just like kind of opened the door. She's like, why don't we move? Where can we move? Where else can we move? And I'm like, well, there's no way Craig's going to get on board. So lo and behold, Glennon not only has a way about her, she is just relentless about knowing what she knows. And thank God for you, because we are in California. This is where I belong.
Yeah. Well, what a hard sell. Hey, Craig, you gorgeous, gorgeous, like very eligible
man. Yes.
Man of a certain age who loves to be outside and exercise. Do you want to leave this place and where you're living in a retirement community?
Yeah.
Or move to Cali? And like surf on the beach. Not
and
a hard
he did
sell.
Want to move. And I knew that he always had this little dream to live in California too. That's why, mm-hmm. because I actually, if you remember, babe, I didn't care where we went. Mm. That was not my intention was we're going to get the hell out of here. Mm-hmm. I just knew in order for everybody else in the family to be on board, I had to consider the destination that everyone else wanted.
Yeah.
Right? And then Craig was like, no take backs. No yes. take backs. We're going to California.
He was.
No take
he was
backs.
So excited. And then the kids, we thought that it was going to be so hard to get the kids on board. Chase was leaving anyway. Okay. Going to college. And I think that had it not been for COVID, it never would have worked, because what we all know is that, you know, for me, the consistency was so important for the kids, because our kids have been through so much change mm-hmm. that the consistency of the school and the friends and all of that is really the true reason we were staying. But after COVID, consistency turned into a joke. Mm-hmm. So there was nothing left keeping us there. But, you know, what I would say is that I also tend to be suspicious of myself with destination happiness, right? That like, oh, I'll be happy if I'm living there. Oh, I'll be happy if I go there. Or, you know, in terms of, I just think it's important to consider that this idea of like bloom where you're planted, whether it's a work or a relationship or whatever, like we are not plants. Like the difference between human beings and plants are that we can move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we
it's
can
literally
change.
The difference. Yeah.
Right. Like I'm not a botanist, but I feel mm-hmm. like bloom where you're planted might be an important thing for a plant to remember, because they have no choice, right? That is motivational, like realistic for a plant. But for a person, that's maybe a cop out.
For small plants.
Right. Because a person can go, right? Mm-hmm. Legs instead of roots, all of that. So you can plant yourself where you'd prefer to bloom. Is what I mean.
Well,
do you see what I'm saying?
Wherever you go, there you are.
Yeah.
That's for damn sure.
But here's
that's
the other thing. I mean, I get that. Wherever you go, there you are. However, Glennon and I, a value in our marriage, in our life, and what we want with our life is we value learning new things and learning new things about ourselves. And so we choose to put ourselves in new places to have new experience so that we can be and introduce ourselves to different parts of who we are that we never knew. And we're doing that right now. And so Glennon and I, we're having a new experience individually and also collectively that's actually shaping our marriage in a completely different way than we ever knew. So because of
it
that
is
commitment,
cool. mm-hmm.
yeah, we're able to actually know each other better and different and more fully.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's cool what you said about the being like, just a different trying on different things of life. Because I feel like that can be the case even if you aren't able to or don't want to have such a dramatic move. Like you can introduce little things to your life that kind of change the what you've gotten used to that doesn't feel correct.
Yeah. In little ways.
Like I've started going on bike rides with Bobby and it's like, really?
Are you serious, sister?
Yeah. I got on a bicycle built for one for the very first time since I was like in elementary school. And we go on little bike rides and it's so cool because it's this thing that never happens in our dynamic where he like leads and I have to follow wherever he goes. And it's fun. And I just feel like there can be little micro things that get you out of your normal routine that don't involve, for example, a transnational move.
Yeah. So what is your California? Yours is a bike ride. That's so cool. I love it.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Low budge California people.
Well, I want you to know, sister, that I also rode my bike yesterday because Abby, we found a new vibe for ourselves, which is that Abby can run and I can ride my bike.
And probably at the same pace?
No, no, no. Oh, sister. Abby, tell her the first third, I couldn't keep up with her. I was on my bike. And she was like eons ahead of me.
You were like one of those little like mice that are like.
Exactly.
But in your defense, there were a lot of ups on the way out.
There were some ups, but I was trying to encourage her sister. So I was going by her saying things like, you can do it. Good hustle. I was trying to be a support system. It was great. I love online shopping. It's how I process my feelings. When you combine the convenience of online shopping with prices that allow you to save 50%, sometimes 80%, it's a slam dunk. And that's why I shop on Quince. No more going to a store and being faced with prices that make your jaw drop. Quince has an amazing selection of lush sweaters, silk tops, timeless jewelry, and everything is priced less than similar brands. Plus, it feels good knowing that whatever I order, I've actually ordered the white gold pave diamond hoop earrings that I'm wearing all the time, was made using safe, ethical practices thanks to Quince's partner process. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/hardthings for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/hardthings to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/hardthings. Okay, on to the next question.
Hi, Glenn. My name's Matthew, and I'm calling today with the question about how can I stop being such a people pleaser? I've spent most of my life living to try to keep everyone around me happy, and I've started my journey to do hard things by trying to make myself happy. But I don't really know the best way to start, so I'm hoping that after listening to your podcast and your audiobooks, that I can get some personalized help to begin this process. Thank you for all that you do and have a wonderful day.
Oh.
Babe, you think you wouldn't mind taking this one for Matthew? Because I am not. I'm a people displeaser.
You're a people displeaser.
People displeaser.
Yeah. Okay. So I ironically so, I didn't have the language around this until recently, actually. I actually came home from a run and somebody was talking about it on an audiobook I was listening to. And I was like, wait, what are the signs that you're a people pleaser? And
if you don't mind telling me, if not, it's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah. And every single thing that this author was saying just matched me. Right. And so when I
what was the book, Abby? Do you know what the book was?
Yeah. So it's Oprah's book called What Happened to You.
And
Yeah. And she talked a lot about people pleasing in that book and how she's a massive people pleaser. And I was like, well, first of all, it's kind of cool to be like Oprah in any way. but it was the first time I'd ever considered that I was actually a people pleaser. And look, I came home and I talked to my wife about it and she was full of grace and just said, honey, like, yep, I can see how you might think that. And the thing is, I really love making people happy. It is part of what makes, it's like my superpower and also I think my Achilles heel. because sometimes I forego my own happiness for other people's happiness.
Is that what you'd consider the definition when you're choosing?
Yeah. Like, I think that it's going to be obviously very vast for who you are. Every person's different. And my personal definition is for sure that, like, that no matter what, I'm always considering, first of all, your happiness, honey, over my own. Mm. And I'm willing to suffer, like literally, like, like right before we recorded this podcast, you are making a cup of coffee. And we do the pour over coffee, and you were about to overflow. Like, the coffee was about to come out of the thing. And so I didn't want you to feel bad about messing up your cup of coffee or spill it. Like, I didn't want that to feel bad for you. Mm-hmm. So this is scalding 202 degree temperature coffee. I put my hand underneath.
It was unbelievable.
To catch the coffee.
Like, this is a different episode, y'all. This is not people pleasing. This is some kind of crazy ass situation we have going on.
There was I got burnt and we had this thing that it was like too much. And that was because I wanted to help and please her at the risk of my own hands.
So, sweetie pie. Love of my life.
Yeah.
How, for sweet Matthew, okay, can you offer us any tips on, I think it's important to acknowledge that if you're a type of people pleaser, every personality type, every characteristic is a beautiful thing and a hard thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, if you're a people pleaser, it could be at its root a beautiful, beautiful wish for other people to be happy. Like, yes, that's what you have, babe. Mm-hmm. But when it crosses over into something that is a weakness, can you give us a tip or two about how to rectify those so that you are one of the people that you are pleasing?
Yes. So that you are the first person you are pleasing.
Right.
I think,
Gwen, it's like, don't take it too far.
Yeah. Well, I don't want her to be completely cured of this situation.
No, listen. I think having a boundary around your own personal wellness is highly important. Mm-hmm. It's like the most important boundary you can possibly create, in my opinion.
Correct.
And the ability to say no to somebody, because there's usually people in your orbit that you are more inclined to want to please than others, right? Mm-hmm. And so finding those people in your life and making sure that you aren't being triggered to please them. And so you might have to practice the art of saying no, or mm-hmm. I can't, with those mm-hmm. said people that you have now identified in your orbit as those who in which you want to please the most. Now, I'm still working on it because I've just recently listened to this book and I've just recently figured out I am a people pleaser. Mm-hmm.
Is it a good practice to even make a list of people that you to take it like less big and airy and make like, okay, well, who are the people I'm trying to please constantly?
Yeah.
Even so making a list.
My people are you and mm-hmm. strangers.
Okay. So I think we should work on the strangers thing.
What the heck?
It's the oddest thing. Like, I swear to you, I can be, what is that? Someone come on the show. And talk, because I can have the hardest conversations with the most intimate people in my life and set really hard boundaries. Some random person on the street, hey, and I'm like, I will never see you again. And look at me pouring out all my energy to you. What the hell is that about?
It is the weirdest thing. It is the weirdest mm-hmm. thing. So identifying who the people are or what the things are that you're trying to, and then just like make sure that it's in alignment with your wellness.
I think there's also this other little bit of people pleasing, which is it's something that I fall into sometimes, which is that when your only tool is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. It's like that kind of thing. When someone has a problem, when there's any problem presented, it's like, that's my kryptonite. I'm like, I can tackle problems, but it's like I fail to have the initial barrier to entry, which is like, is that my problem? Is that mm-hmm. is that my circus? Are those my monkeys?
Oh, like, my God.
What is, because that's, there can be this problem over here and I can be like, oh man, I'm so sorry. That sounds like a problem. And actually I have to restrain myself because I'm like, I could solve that problem. Yep. I could solve that problem.
Yep.
I could fix that. But and that is like a boundary that I think creeps into people pleasing mm-hmm. that it's just not everything is yours.
Yeah.
To wow. feel, to fix, to solve.
To enter into.
To yeah. enter into.
To here I am, that energy of wanting.
It's a worthiness thing for me. It's like how mm-hmm. I get, I think that maybe I get my worthiness in pleasing or helping people fix their problems.
Mm-hmm.
It's right. Good. So it's just make sure your inner circle, your bullseye, Matthew, like Abby said, that you're taking care of you, and then figure out your next concentric circle of the people that you really, with your value system, want to please.
Honor. And then, honor. Can we change honor, it to honor?
Honor.
Want because to honor. Pleasing mm-hmm. suggests that we're doing every whim that they have all the time.
Right.
Right? That we're just, it also, whether it's healthy or not, we're just please it. That's not the right word. Like,
yeah, honoring is so much better. Honoring. Honor yourself. Honor your mm-hmm. first circle around you, because it's also like something that will be pleasing to another person might be actually against their interest and against your relation.
Absolutely.
The your relation.
I like that very much. Thinking of people in concentric circles mm-hmm. because we have had issues. Abby does like to please strangers, right? Mm-hmm. And so she does. And
I know.
I just want to give like an actual practical example of this. So in the beginning of our relationship, let's say we were at a soccer tournament or something with the kids, and people, we call it the soccerazzi. Okay. At some point, you're going to see that the entire soccer tournament has just figured out that Abby Wambach is there. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the children start coming. The parents start coming, right? There's this moment. And this was a very hard thing for us in the beginning of our relationship, because Abby, it's beautiful. Like, Abby cares deeply about these children that are, you know, inspired by her, about these families that, but in terms of people pleasing, it's not like you can just keep pleasing everybody and there's no cost to it. Mm-hmm. You are often deciding, am I choosing them or am I choosing me? In our particular situation, it was semi-traumatic for our kids, because we are there for their soccer game. And now suddenly it's not about them anymore. It's about Abby, and it's not about like whether Abby's concentrating on our children or she's being a mom. It's that we're pleasing these strangers and we don't want to disappoint them. So we're choosing to disappoint our kids. So my point is that when you figure out your circles, you realize, oh, if I'm ever given a chance to please those strangers or honor my kids, the decision's done. Mm-hmm. Right?
I think that happens. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
It's painful. Like, I see Abby mm-hmm. have to do it at mm-hmm. tournaments, at the wherever we are, and say, I'm sorry, I'm with my kids right now. Like, this is a mom moment. I'm with my kids right now. And it mm-hmm. does disappoint the people. Mm-hmm. But our kids feel it. I can see it. They walk a little strong. Like, they feel safer because they know mm-hmm. she's going to protect that circle.
Yep.
Yeah. And practically speaking, I feel like that happens a lot in people's everyday lives with work. Like with, you know, the saying yes to work, as if there is not a cost to that too. And the saying yes to that means very often saying no
mm-hmm.
to your family commitments or time with your family, et cetera. And so I think that's an interesting part of it. What the other part of people pleasing and saying yes to things, if I say yes to this, what is it requiring me to say no to?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And then counting that in your analysis so that it's an intellectually honest thing.
Exactly.
That's good.
Exactly. Having the intellectual honesty to know that every yes is a no and every no is a yes. So make sure that you're acknowledging both each time.
And just figuring out, like, what is your problem? What is it? Is it your actual problem or is it not? And like, sometimes mm-hmm. if it's not actually your problem, it might not require you to put the cost in
to or engage.
Sacrifice to engage.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
D
Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want. Fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and more. Whatever you're interested in, no matter your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off your first purchase when you use the code HARDTHINGS at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code HARDTHINGS at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code HARDTHINGS. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
Next!
My name is Lauren. I'm a mom to two kids. I have a 2.5-year-old and a 10-month-old, and I struggle with play. I end up keeping one AirPod in all day just listening to your podcast or audiobooks and just trying to white-knuckle some... There's a kid yelling right now. Just trying to white-knuckle some semblance of independence and adult one-sided conversation. And I guess I just feel a little guilty that I might be missing out on this time with them by being one foot in and one foot out. Or is it okay to not love the pointless questions about crayons and Play-Doh at this point? So just hoping for a little advice, trying to be mindful, but also trying to be a human. So thank you guys. Appreciate everything you do and keep up the hard/good/important work. Thanks.
Lauren.
I hate playing. I hate playing. I don't play. I never played. I won't play. I'm not going to play. Okay. Playing sucks. Playing is the worst. You don't have to play. Okay. It's okay for adults to do adult things, and it's okay for kids to do kid things, and it's okay to parallel exist. Okay. I want to tell you a quick story. Yesterday, and Abby, you can back me up on this actually. Okay. My entire family comes to me. I don't have anything to do. I'm done with my workday. I have nothing to do. My entire family comes to me and they're like, we're going surfing. All of them. Craig, Abby, Chase, Emma, Tish, all of them. And I look at them and I think, you have 9 more days with your son at home. Your entire family is about to go have this amazing experience on the beach, and you get to walk and watch them all together in this beautiful moment that you will never be able to recreate in the last few moments of your son's time. And then I thought, nah. And do you know what I did, Lauren?
So good.
I said, have fun. And I sat on the couch and read a book. Okay? And thought a couple times, your ass should really be watching Chase surf. One day you'll regret this. And do you know what I thought, Lauren?
Not today.
Today is not that day, Lauren. So all I want you to know is, even when it's easier, even when all I had to do was sit on the beach and watch my child, I'm still not doing it. And to you, I say, it's just that you're sane. That's why you don't like talking about crayons all day. That's why you don't want to play Play-Doh. I grant you permission to not play, Lauren. I don't even want to ask your opinion, sister and Abby, about this, because I just feel right.
Well, honey, I just want to say this and only this. I hope you don't feel guilty about choosing to stay home and read, because...
She sound guilty to you?
Do I look like a guilty woman to you? Did
well,
I?
Well, you just
did
said
I
might
speak.
No, you just said I might regret this down the line, and I might feel guilty about this. You literally just said that. So I just want you to know, like, we had a blast.
Nobody missed me. I meant I might regret this were I a better person, but I'm not.
Yeah, I might. Oh. Another human, another more evolved human might regret this. I just would offer one tidbit from my, I struggle with this very much too. And my kids are still small enough that it sounds like Lauren and my kids are the same age. My therapist has talked to me about this because I also can't do it. And I've been doing this new thing of reframing that time, like, because it's just so senseless and such a freaking waste of time. All of it. And it makes me so crazy that I'm like, yes, I'm acting out. I am Winnie the horse. Yay. Like, I can't. Literally last night, the horses. And so, but now I'm reframing it in my head as a productive act of bonding.
Oh.
So I'm like, I am not spending precious time in a senseless, ridiculous way. I am actively bonding. Look at me. Look at me bonding. I'm bonding now.
Okay. But can it be a short thing? It's
always a short thing. Okay. Oh my God, of course it's a short thing.
Okay. So Lauren, like 8 minutes.
That's so funny, you guys.
All right. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to move on to some rapid fire questions. And I just have this deep feeling that we're going to suck at this.
Yeah.
Well, bring on the suck.
We're going to try.
Who cares? We can't be good at everything.
Okay, so.
I can be good at everything.
Lauren, we'll see. Lauren sent us these questions just now. I'm going to read them one at a time. And what rapid means, you all, is fast. Okay, we've never done anything fast on this podcast before. This is our first time. But I think we're supposed to answer these quickly and not have like a dissertation on each one.
Did you say Lauren, our producer, Lauren?
Yes, Lauren.
We love Lauren. Lauren.
Okay. Ready? Are you two ready?
I feel very ready.
Okay. Number one. What are your thoughts on astrology and what are your signs?
I don't know anything about astrology except that my sign is Aries and it seems pretty freaking dead on. Fire, terror, crazy. Yes.
Okay. You're not crazy, you're a goddamn Aries.
Yes.
I am a Gemini through and through. I know very little about astrology. We got our astrological signs read or something at some point and I thought they were speaking in a different language. But okay. I'm into it and I'm like, I'm into like whatever.
Yeah.
It's cool. If it works, it works. Cool.
Yeah. I love it. I believe in everything a little bit and nothing all the way. Okay. So I'm into it. If you tell me you're going to read my things, I'm there and I will find a million reasons for it all to be exactly dead on. I am a Pisces. I think as far as I can tell, I'm a Pisces like through and through, right? Because I think we're just kind of like dreamy and airy and creative.
Aren't
and
you on
sensitive.
The cusp?
On the cusp of Pisces and Aries, which is why I'm a little bit of an asshole too.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah, I'm sweet, but also kind of an asshole.
That's so good.
Yeah. Okay. Love warrior, right? And both. What's your morning routine/practice? Sister first.
Okay. You better get your notebook because this is some best life shit. Okay. So first, trying to think. Okay. Every morning... First starts with a very, very late night, even though I've sworn to God I will not go to bed that late anymore every day. Okay, so number one, important to go to bed very, very, very late. Second, important to lay in your bed for 1 hour of not sleeping while you're perseverating on everything that you failed to get done that day. Also, figuring out how you're going to get the kids out of the house, depending on the origin of the fire. And also how to remodel your bathroom.
Yes.
Number three, very important to also sleep too late, just in time to wake up so that you're late for everything and
day.
That you can immediately start scampering around, making sure everything was done 10 minutes ago. And then you're not able to because you can't speak until you've had 3 cups of coffee. So try Excellent. That and it'll not work for you too.
I feel like I actually think that my morning is better than yours because I have older children.
Is it possible?
Yeah, I have, my kids are older. Here's what I need you to know about morning is my best time. Morning is my joy, my deep joy. Every night I go to bed and my last thought is 8 hours till coffee. Like that's I don't know what the point of life is except mm-mm. for that first cup, that first sip of coffee. Like, I'm serious. I'm not trying to be dramatic.
No.
Like, I don't know. When people tell me they don't drink coffee, I don't understand what they're living for. And also, it's just, they're superheroes. People who don't drink coffee, I just don't understand how they function. It's like an electric car. Like, cars that don't need gas. Like, people that don't need coffee. It's confusing to me. That's my morning routine. That's all that matters to me is getting to the coffee first. Babe?
I wake up, I pee, I brush my teeth, and I walk the dogs. And then you hand me my coffee, which is my favorite thing. And I sit mm-hmm. there for 20, 30 minutes. And then I go on a run.
What did you want to be when you were little, sister?
Important and change things.
I wanted to be an FBI agent.
I think I wanted to be a teacher. I always wanted to be a teacher. And I wanted to be pretty. That was very important to me when I was little, that I was understood that it was very important to grow up and be a pretty woman. God help me. What is something you're tired of in your own life? That. I'm tired of that concept. I also, the thing I'm most tired of in my own life is compulsive thinking about food and body.
Being resentful.
The thing I'm most tired of in my own life is like the daily little things that parents have to do to make sure that the family runs and functions, like get groceries or like just I'm tired of like those little chores. Like right now, getting a California driver's license. Like that is, first of all, it seems impossible mm-hmm. because I can't get an appointment online. And registering my car feels impossible. It's just like those little mm-hmm. have to do things I'm tired of right now.
Yeah.
Death by a thousand cuts. Yes.
Yep.
We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone. If only you had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Do you cook often? What do you like to cook?
No.
No.
Yes, I cook often and I like to cook everything. We just got a little outdoor griddle and fried rice is my jam right now.
Nice. I appreciate so much that you cook for us. Thank you, Abby.
You're welcome.
First kiss story. Was it what you expected? Sister.
Seventh grade, middle of the day, beside my best friend's house. And it was awesome. And Facebook just teed him up as someone you might know. And indeed I do, Facebook. And he lives in Florida now. So anyway, great job, Brian.
Oh, Brian. Yeah. I remember Brian. Oh my God. Brian, my God, he was really cute.
It was a great first kiss. It's so rare. Like, I wish my first sex was, you know, it's like a good first kiss. Lovely. Lovely
That's
little
beautiful.
Memory. Yeah.
My first kiss was on the path behind my elementary school. I was in fifth grade and everyone was daring me to kiss a boy named Kyle.
I remember Kyle.
And we just like met, I don't know, like it was like we were like, it was like West Side Story. Like our gangs were behind us.
Yes.
The girls
yes.
and the boys.
Yes.
And then we walked toward each other and then we kissed.
Was it French kiss?
I think it was like a little teeny bit of French.
Okay,
just
okay.
Like okay. A teeny bit. And it was less than earth shattering.
Okay.
Is all that I remember. Because it wasn't about the kiss. It was about the dare. It was about being doing a thing.
You were representing your gang. Yeah, it was important.
Yeah. Babe, ew. Also ew.
Is this macaroni grill?
No, it happened a little earlier. I think I was in sixth or seventh grade. We were in my bedroom and I played on an all-boys soccer team. And so this is one of my teammates. His name is
Goal!
Pat. Yeah, his name is Pat. And we entered into the kiss and I wasn't prepared for the French part of it. And so I didn't know about the French part of it. And so when he was jamming his tongue into my mouth, I felt offended. I felt offended and like confused and like, why are you doing that? Why is your tongue in my mouth?
Please see prior sexuality episode.
I was offended and I didn't understand later in my life, cue macaroni grill incident, that oh, maybe that's why it felt offensive is because I didn't want that tongue in my
Yes, mouth. It's the particular tongue. Yes, I see. Okay, worst fashion trend you were ever a part of?
Oh.
Okay, I would say for me, I was part of the unfortunate over-tweezing trend of the early 90s. Mm-hmm. During that over-tweezing trend, I tweezed an entire hole into my eyebrows, which I still fill each day with an eyebrow pencil. So this is what, like 20 years later?
Yeah, you said this in the beauty episode.
Yeah, I'm still paying. I'm still paying for that trend. I also have seen a couple pictures lately where I permed my hair and then covered it in sun-in.
That'll do it.
Because when you are a dark brunette, you think that your sun-in's going to turn you into a platinum blonde, but really it changes you into a pumpkin orange. Yeah. So, but the cool thing was that my pumpkin orange hair was also fried with a perm. And then I straightened my bangs out. And I don't know if you remember that trend of the rolling of the curling iron, the top half of the bangs. Mm-hmm. And then the rolling, the wave, I believe, curling of the bottom, and then the spraying of the Aquanet.
So just like a rock hit you right in the middle of your forehead.
Right. Yeah. That's right. But the good news was that I also worked at a tanning salon. Okay. So like all brilliant high schoolers, I worked there for free so that all they paid me in was skin cancer.
Was cancer.
Okay? Yeah. That's right. So they paid me by allowing me to poison myself with their UVA rays for free. So I had orange hair, orange skin, fried halo of what
don't
I thought
worry.
Were curls.
All of the perms were also at home perms
that my Aunt Stephanie did for me.
Every 60 days, even though you were definitely only supposed to do those like twice a year. Remember those pink plastic,
oh my God,
like tampon looking things with the rubber band over? And I'm sure that you were doing it just as manufactured required.
Oh my God. And I was always convinced I was one bottle of sun in or perm away from being Alyssa Milano on Who's the Boss. Like I just really felt like I was close.
You're so close.
But I look at pictures smell and I think, oh, sweetheart, you were just so far. You were just... You were, okay, you guys, we'll do some more rapid fire next time, but I don't want to miss our pod squatter of the week.
Yes.
Pod this squatter. Week. We've got to get to our pod squatter.
Let's do it.
Hey, Glennon, Amanda, Abby, everybody. I just literally had to stop doing the dishes and had to stop your podcast just now to call and say that I can tell you about a hard thing for me in my life, thanks to your frickin' podcast, is that I have been telling everyone I know to listen to your podcast. And slowly they have been trickling in. I'll get a text from a friend. Oh my God, started the podcast. Love it. La, 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 la. But it was slow. It feels like a lifetime for me of me constantly asking my dear friends, and everyone on Facebook, by the way. I've been blasting your name everywhere. So anyway, it's been a hard thing for me to wait for people to listen to the goddamn podcast. Anyway, there we go. And I just thought I would tell you that. And also as a side note, and I don't mean to be creepy here, but Amanda, you are so pretty, and I just wanted you to know that. And my wife knows that I have a little bit of a crush on you. Probably even my sons know. You know what I mean? I just loving you from afar. You know, anyway, love all you guys. You're amazing. Thank you for what you do. My name is Kylie. I live in Boise, Idaho. Okay, thanks. Bye.
No, Kylie, we need so much more information from Kylie. I love Kylie from Boise, Idaho. And has a woman ever told her she has a crush on you before, sister?
I mean, not in a decade or so.
You're blushing.
Hashtag
maybe. I was going to say still got it, but not sure I ever had it. So hashtag newly got it.
Got it.
Kylie, you made Sister's Day.
Kylie, I love it. And my favorite, telling people to listen to this goddamn podcast.
Kylie, we love you. We love all of you. Thanks for doing life with us. And we will see you back here next week. We will hear you back here next week. We will talk at you next week. How about...
We'll be back next week.
We will be back next week. But in the meantime, you can do hard things. We Can Do Hard Things is produced in partnership with Cadence 13 Studios. Be sure to rate, review, and follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you get your podcasts. Especially be sure to rate and review the podcast if you really liked it. If you didn't, don't worry about it. It's fine.
I am an outdoors person. I'm a big fan of places that are rich in culture, history, and art. And most importantly, I'm a former resident of the great state of Oregon, which is why I want to tell you about Travel Oregon. When you find a guide through Travel Oregon, you'll be able to leave the planning to the local guides and experts, and this is a game changer. Instead of trying to find a good hiking trail and hope for the best, you can get a tour guide to bring you to the must-see spots, ensure you're provided with all the necessary safety gear, and show you all the amazing little nuggets you might miss on your own. And because the guides and tour companies are small businesses, they're led by incredibly passionate people. You can find experts who speak multiple languages and know about a variety of cuisines, or if you want a biking tour, you can find local guides to help you to customize your tour. There's so much to explore. Learn more at traveloregon.com.